Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got something for him. A whole lot of stacking.
Jalen Johnson, the note.
Jalen Johnson.
Jalen is a premier player.
Starting cornerback for your Chicago Bears.
Jalen's just a real talk expert. He just tells you how he feels.
I have those type of goals and aspirations, and I know to get a Yellow Jacket, you got to be consistently great. And I think for me, that's my goal, is to consistently be great.
2023 Pro Bowl selection.
Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson.
2023 All-Pro.
Problem was he threw that. The one guy you don't want to go attack in man-to-man, Jalen Johnson, is going to be a first-team All-Pro.
Well, and it's a little bit of the Deion Sanders effect when you're playing opposite of Jalen Johnson.
Takes you inside the locker room after every Bears game.
This a little extra pushing and shoving the last series or so.
Hey, ref, you see that? Take a look. He did it first. Well, Kraft likes to get a little nasty out there. That's a big boy.
6'5", 260 for Kraft. Left that one alone, rightfully so. One-man rush here. Love can't find it. And that's knocked away over the middle. Nicely done by Jalen Johnson.
Well, that boy, animal, he's a whole goat, man.
Jalen Johnson.
Yes, sir.
With Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We love our visits with Jalen Johnson. It's brought to you by our friends over at Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois for 18 years in a row, and also brought to you by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And Busey Bank, building business, growing well since 1868. Jalen, thanks so much for joining us. First things first, man, we got to ask you, we told you that our good friend Layla Rahimi was going to be hanging out with you last week.
Mm-hmm.
I texted with her after the event, and she said it went well. I wanted to make sure I checked my sources on that. Did it go well for you?
Yeah, it was a solid event overall. Overall, it was better than what I thought it was going to be.
Oh, good. Because, Layla's good people. And she said, she was like, wow, he's super impressive. I'm like, I know. That's why we have him on the show every week.
Yeah, we love talking to Jalen. We heard there was somebody who wanted to take like a prom style picture with you. Like there was a strange photo moment, Jalen.
Yeah, I mean, it was strange. It was just this young lady. She just wanted to, I guess, reenact this prom pose. But it was a little different for me personally. It seemed like she's done it or seen the idea before. But, I mean, I was trying to give her, I guess, what she wanted at the time. But for me, it was a little awkward, but it was all good.
Did you go to your senior prom? And did you look good? How was your fit?
My senior prom. No, I went. What the hell did I wear in my senior prom? I look good. I look good in the suits. I mean, I have to look halfway solid for sure.
Okay. I mean, look, that's the time you're going to show out. You got to show out.
These kids nowadays do it different. We didn't do it like how these kids do it nowadays. These kids rent out damn Ferraris, Lamb trucks, and Rolls Royces, and shoes. It's ridiculous. Jewelry's crazy. I was a normal high school kid with a normal suit on. So, I mean, it's a little different than what these kids do now.
Well, Speed's got to get ready for that soon because his son will be old enough soon to be going to some of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's 12. Going to start getting interesting around these parts. But, Jalen, it was interesting yesterday. Look, man, we've been talking about how we felt watching that game and when it ended. We've been talking about it all day. How did you feel? How did you feel when that thing ended the way it did yesterday?
How did I feel? I had a lot of things going on, honestly, in my head, just different things that I thought about. You kind of start replaying different moments, certain plays. Of course, for me, my plays somewhat came towards the end when I tripped and things like that. The damn dude got up, ran 60 yards. I mean, I was more so thinking about stuff like that. Different plays we could have made, but I mean, ultimately to lose from a block kick that Daniel, I can say, was almost 100% going in with Cairo kicking that from where he kicked it was difficult to take in. But I mean, shoot, we've been getting punched in the face in a lot of different ways from a lot of different people. So, I mean, at this point, it's kind of getting used to taking the punches. We just got to figure out a way to throw some knockout punches ourselves.
Yeah, those two losses, like the Hail Mary loss and this one, that's got to be up there as two of the most painful losses of your career at this point.
Definitely are those two. It's not up there. It's definitely those two.
I was told by someone that you were the last player to leave the field yesterday because you were trying to process all of this stuff. How do you get yourself back to being the person that you always are? You know, like, well, how do you work through it and say, yeah, these are tough losses. We have been getting punched in the face, but now I've got to figure out how to get myself back and punch back.
I mean, shoot, very much easy for me. I mean, shoot, we got Justin Jefferson coming to the building. So, of course, that's a matchup I've been wanting for some years now. Of course, we haven't been able to see each other for a few years. But, I mean, shoot, it's pretty damn easy. You wake up and you keep putting your shoes on, you keep stepping. So, I mean, for me, that's all I'm going to continue to do is keep one foot after the other and keep stepping in the right direction. And I'm looking forward to this matchup. Both teams, I feel like they're hungry for success and trying to get to the playoffs and different things like that. And we're hungry to get a win. So, I mean, there's going to be two hungry teams coming in here to try to dig out a win some way, somehow. So, I mean, both teams are going to be fighting, going to be eager. And I know for me, I know I'm going to show up as well.
I know that it's hard to, like, even talk about, like, breaking down, tripping, and falling. But what happened on that play?
I'm assuming you didn't see the replay.
Oh, I saw it. I want to hear from your point of view.
He's talking about my point of view. I mean, I don't know too much more to explain it. I jammed the guy off the line, jammed him again in good position. I knew the route. He's running an over route. Went to undercut it and tripped over his foot. I mean, clearly I wasn't thinking about his foot or didn't see his foot. Clipped his foot, took me out, and then he made a diving catch. So, I mean, to explain it, that's the only thing that happened. But I know if it would have went the way that I wanted it to go as far as not hitting his foot, it probably would have been a game sealing the interception.
Oh, really? You think you were going to pick? You think you had that picked if you don't trip over the feet?
100%. Because, I mean, especially where he threw the ball, he didn't just throw the ball out in front or anything like that. I mean, the ball was low and somewhat flat. So, I mean, I know I would have been underneath him, and that ball would have fell right into my hands.
So
sure.
That explains a lot, Jalen. Like, that really explains, like, why you're out there on the field by yourself at the end, because you're saying this was an opportunity for you to help end the game, and just because, like, it, you know, 100%. Guys' feet get tripped up, and just because you don't have that win in your pocket.
100%. No doubt. And I feel like for me, it was one of those things where it's like, maybe if I didn't trip or whatever and I was in the position, maybe I didn't intercept him, but I kind of replayed the pass over and over and over, and just the timing of everything. He was throwing that ball regardless. So I know if I would have undercut it at the time that I did, I just didn't trip, the ball was going to come out, and he didn't throw that ball that way because I tripped. So, I mean, that definitely would have been a very catchable pass, unless, of course, Christian Watson tackles me and I couldn't catch it. But if all things went the way it was supposed to go, that was a play that I knew I was going to make when I went to undercut it. Because, I mean, I knew the play. I knew they were clearing everybody else out to get this over out. And, I mean, I jammed her from the jump, and the play was over with. All I had to do was undercut and possibly catch the ball, depending on the situation. But that definitely could have ended the game for sure.
Oh, my God, Jalen, this answer. This changes. It makes it even more heartbreaking, frankly, like, because,
yeah, for sure.
Right. So, yeah, as I get it, to Lawrence's point, and I got to tell you, I was talking a big game all week. I picked the Bears, and part of the reason was, I'm like, Jordan Love's going to throw two picks because he puts the ball in harm's way sometimes, and the way that you guys play as a secondary, and that would have been the second one in the game sealer. It was that close. It was that close to happening.
Yeah. I guess it didn't work out. We played a damn good game. Everything that we did was solid. I mean, of course, it was going against a good offense. They were going to score some points, move the ball, but that was definitely supposed to seal the game. The offense did a heck of a job, gave us all that they needed to give us. So, I mean, for me, it was just going out there, being myself, making that play. And, of course, even if I did trip and the guy didn't catch it, or maybe he was down or something like that, then okay, cool. But it's like him to turn of what should have been an interception into a 60-yard gain. They score a touchdown. It's like, damn, that's all that hurts. And it's like, I can't say I would do anything different. I mean, I have good technique. I just got my foot tripped up in the midst of trying to get in better position to play the ball. But I mean, overall, I wouldn't do anything different. It just didn't work out.
You have talked to us about the difference between using really good sound cover skills technique and being somebody who aggressively goes for turnovers and gambles, right. You know, like, so like, I don't know, like Jair Alexander on the other side, right. As we've talked about, was it, I mean, was tripping over him a product specifically of you going for it on that play in that way?
No. I mean, if I would have stayed where I was, I'm sure he would have just caught the ball. So, I mean, it wasn't like I was taking the risk, doing anything out of character. That's almost cornerback one-on-one. Once a guy starts getting to a certain part of the field or across the middle, I mean, you just don't stay behind him. You go to undercut it because normally the ball is going to be right there. So, I mean, you kind of undercut and change position with the wide receiver. So, I mean, it wasn't so much a gamble, but he was already into his route. I already played great technique, aggressive, jammed him, getting in position. So, I mean, all I was doing was getting in position to catch the ball. That wasn't anything as far as taking a risk or trying to get greedy or anything like that. It's like at the end of the day, you play corner to play the ball. So I was getting in position to play the ball, and I tripped.
I was doing work out in the burbs yesterday with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. Like, I was working on our pre and our post game show.
Mm-hmm.
I was really jealous that I wasn't there yesterday because the energy in the building felt high. Like, it felt like, just from watching it on TV, it felt like a playoff game. What did it feel like there?
I mean, for us, we just wanted to come out with extreme energy, really, on both sides of the field. I mean, for me, I was trying to set that tone with my chippiness from the very beginning, trash talking pregame, talking from the first snap to the last snap. Nothing really changed or stopped, just really overall everybody having that energy. And I feel like the offense fed off of it. The defense, we were able to feed off and make plays, getting stops in the red zone, getting the turnover in the red zone as well. So, I mean, things like that is energy, a will to win. And I feel like we all had that. We just came up short.
Yeah, there were some good complimentary football moments yesterday, man. We're like offense and defense playing and setting each other up in some ways. Like, after you guys stopped them on fourth and goal, right? The offense drove the ball to midfield and like picked up some big first downs. It was like, look at this.
Then
some of us were hoping they went for it on fourth down there at midfield, even.
Yeah.
It's like, keep on going. Were you hoping for that? Because we were. Lawrence was, especially.
I mean, I can't even say hoping. It was really open, I feel like, for discretion at that point, just based on, I feel like, how we were playing defense. I feel like the goal was to really pin them really inside the 10, and they end up getting a return. I don't know if that was the return where we got a penalty, so it moved them closer as well. But I know the goal was to really pin them deep, get a three and out, whatever, take away, and then really just still let the offense run the clock out. So, I wouldn't say a decision that, oh, they should have went for it. I mean, either way, it was going to be, I feel like, a solid decision. But it just, again, didn't work out how we wanted it to work out.
We've been praising Thomas Brown. We've been praising Thomas Brown, Jalen. You there? We got him. Uh-oh. So, I've never seen that before. That was a fascinating thing.
It was a Silk Sonic there in the background.
If you were watching on the video stream or on Twitch, like, it looked like the shutter went up. Like,
if you're going to go offline, that's a good thing to have.
That was a good looking way.
Instead of seeing, you know, what other things might be going on, you're like, you never know. So you always got to be careful what your background is and all that good stuff.
We got him back. We got you back, Jalen.
Yeah, my apologies. All good.
We've been praising Thomas Brown. Looked like the offense was very smooth yesterday. And Caleb said he loved the plays getting called in fast. And you had to see an offense functioning better than you have. That was probably good to see.
Yeah, no doubt. And too, I feel like it's one of the things that just them getting back to us, knowing who they can really be. Cause, I mean, we've seen it for a few games, some spurts, kind of seeing it here and there, but I feel like seeing it again, seeing the execution, the ball move, seeing them being comfortable and things like that, just even the body language coming off to the sideline, even when they didn't score or get points, it was still positive. Like, they felt good. They had a good rhythm. different things like that. So, I mean, just really the energy, the body language, of course, them putting up more points, all of that was good. And they had a lot of energy, too. So, I mean, just everything top to bottom, inside out, I think was a lot better than, and it was evident. You were able to see it.
Things were coming, the ball was coming out quick. You could argue they were playing like a quick game, the 2.62 seconds on Caleb's throws. Flip this around for me, Jalen. What's that like for defense when an offense has success and there really isn't even time for a pass rush to make a difference?
I mean, yeah, at that point, it's really up to the DBs. The DBs got to be active, or DBs, linebackers, the underneath defenders, everybody got to be active. Even for the D-line, maybe they're not hitting the quarterback, but you can get your hands up, tips and passes, and things like that. So, I mean, there's still ways the front can get involved, but really at that point, the secondary got to start challenging, because you know that ball's going to come out quick. There's not too many deep routes or really hard routes that are going to come out. There's not going to be too many double moves with the ball coming out, too many long developing routes. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're trying to get the ball out quick, the route's got to be quick. So, I mean, it really turns into the DBs and linebackers getting active underneath, and then the D-line getting their hands up.
Did you guys make a concerted effort as a defense to try and, as a secondary, to try and come up and support on the run? Looked like Kevin Byard was much more aggressive than he has been, and he had a good game doing that against them.
I mean, I wouldn't say so. I mean, again, we just knew, going into the game, we always said that's going to be on us in the run in the past. So we were just trying to figure out ways best we can to impact the game in all areas. So, I mean, Kevin coming in, you trying to get involved in the run a whole lot for sure. Just him trying to just make plays, figure out ways to impact the game. Kyler, of course, always being active in the run. Myself trying to set edges, get off blocks, trying to hit guys in the backfield, things like that. Just trying to, all of us trying to find ways to win the game.
Do you guys feel like the defense played well enough to win that game?
Well enough to win, definitely. I would say so. I mean, again, I feel like who knows, but I feel like outside of that 160-yard play, I mean, how many, what were they at? 14 before that? So, I mean, 14 points and an NFL game is pretty dang good. So, I mean, I'm convinced if I get that stop there, even if I don't intercept them, just knock the ball down, I feel like we'd have too much momentum to let them to go all the way down there and score the ball. I mean, they wouldn't even been able to kick a field goal because we were up by five. So, I mean, I don't see them marching their way down all the way and getting a touchdown. So, I mean, regardless of that trip or not, me getting an interception, I know they wouldn't have went down there and just scored a touchdown on us. It was just the explosive that got them down there.
Now that you've had a chance to see again, you know, Jordan Love with this group of receivers that he's got, that run game with Josh Jacobs, he was chirping a little bit yesterday too.
Yeah.
What do you think of them? Like, is their record indicative of how good of a team they are?
Well, I don't even know the record. What's the record?
7-3
now.
And they didn't have anybody out on offense?
No.
They were about
as healthy as they've been, because Jordan Love had like the groin injury for a little while.
Yeah. Elton Jenkins was back. I think that's everybody.
I mean, they were solid. They were solid offense. I mean, I wouldn't say anything scared me that they did, or was just something that was tough. I mean, it was a solid offense. I wouldn't just say they're special, and I wouldn't just say that they're a bad offensive core. So, I mean, they're a solid offense to go against.
On the show I was on before I joined this one, we used to have Jaquan Brisker on every week. So, you know, you got a lot of affection for Jaquan. He was a lot of fun, and we had a good time with him. I'm worried about him, Jalen. I'm worried about him with him having to go on IR, and I take head injuries very seriously. So I'm okay with guys taking as much time as they need to feel better and feel like they can contribute and play. What's it like for you guys knowing how badly he wants to play and that he's not playing? And where does like the thinking about him, not just as a teammate, but as a human being, like where does that come in for you?
That's the first thing. I mean, I don't look at a lot of our guys just as teammates, but as people. So, I mean, of course, when you're dealing with a head injury, that's, in a sense, the most, that in your neck is one of the most serious injuries that you can have. So, I feel like for him, that's something to take his complete time on, nothing to try to rush back or even, hey, bro, are you ready? I mean, nobody's really even asking him if he's ready to come back, it's just more so come back when you're ready. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not even going to say taking his time as if it's just some passive thing that he's doing, but he's just trying to get 100%, get his head, neck, mind, everything right to where he can come back and perform at his highest capability. So, I mean, just overall, just want him to take his time, make sure his mind, body, spirit is right throughout this process. Because, I mean, he wants to come back. So just not him getting too down, getting too low, but just keeping his spirits up, keeping his mind and his body right, progressing the right way. And then when his body is allowing him to come back, he'll come back and impact the game for us.
Is it scary for you to see like anyone be injured that way, but specifically like a teammate? Is that something that you even think about, or do you have to completely block it out of your mind to do what you do?
I mean, I wouldn't say that it's scary. Everybody has different ways. I mean, even just the topic of concussions, Tua concussion looked 10 times worse as Jaquan's did, but Tua came back quicker and things like that. So, I mean, it's more so just kind of how you look at it. At the end of the day, everybody's body is different. Everybody handles concussions different. And his situation is his situation at the end of the day. So, I mean, as long as he's good off the field first and foremost, alone he can function and things like that, and then come back and play the game that he loves and that we all want him to come back and play, I mean, then that's extra, that's a bonus. So, I mean, just knowing him, talking to him, he'll be back when it's time.
All right, Jalen, one little thing from that game yesterday, and then I got a big picture thing. The little thing is Josh Jacobs wanting the collision with you on the sideline. Yeah. Like he like says, come here. He gives you the two fingers. Like calling you over, and you didn't shy away from it at all. That just looked like a good big time NFL collision on the sideline. What was your thought on it?
It's funny. I was actually surprised. Like when I seen him do it, I was just like, "He talking to me?" Like, and it's crazy because it's like I'm no big hitter or anything like that. I feel like it's honestly because I was chirping all day. So I mean, kind of just getting rowdy with some guys. I felt like that was just kind of like his way to try to get a one up. But I mean, he's definitely not somebody I'm just jumping, try to go sideline pop with. So I mean, I went low, got him out of bounds, and that was it. We had a laugh about it, and then kind of just jog back. But I mean, I wish you'd have did that to Jaquan. I know Jaquan would have took him out for me, but I mean, I wasn't tripping about it.
All right, and then the big picture thing. I had a guy at my where I was watching the game. It's my brother-in-law. Starts going, well, after the game, he's like, "Oh no, this is good. This is what you want. You want him to lose and get a better draft pick. Go ahead. This is what you want." He was pivoting to that. I'm not ready for it, Jalen. I'm not ready for it. I spent last year like, oh, lose more games. Are people talking to you like the season's over? Because they're talking to me like it, and it sucks, frankly.
Nah, I mean, I haven't heard that type of talk. I mean, in the building, outside the building. In the day, we got plenty of opportunities to win some games. We got some big-time teams coming up. So, I mean, but honestly, the probability is low for us. But, I mean, statistically, it's not over yet. We just got to keep chirping. I mean, at the end of the day, we got opportunity to win the division still. Hopefully Detroit loses some games, of course, and then we can beat them twice and things like that. So, I mean, we still got opportunity. So, I mean, it's nothing to give up on. We just got to take it one game at a time. And, I mean, it's definitely doable. There's been teams to go on 7-game win streaks at the end of the season. So, I mean, it's definitely doable. But it starts with one win at a time, and we just got to find that one and carry that momentum and then really just keep going from there and chip it away one at a time.
Who was giving the best smack talk back to you yesterday? Was it the Jacobs run or was it the receivers?
I would probably say the Jacobs run because, I mean, nobody else was talking about nothing that was worth anything.
That's what I like to hear.
Man. All right, Jalen. Well, thanks for the time. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, thanks for taking care of our partner in crime, Layla Rahimi. She really thought it was an excellent night that you guys had.
Yeah, no, it was solid. It was a good turnout. Fans and people were involved and things like that. So, I mean, it was a good turnout overall, and she hosted it really well.
All right, we're going to beat the Packers someday, man. You're going to have one. You're going to get one at some point.
The Vikings.
He's Vikings. On to the Vikings,
He's on
man.
To Minnesota.
He's ready right. to go. Justin Jefferson, here it is. That's what I like to hear. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Y'all have a good one.
You too.
It's Jalen Johnson. He's always great and always available. Always accountable.
Even if he's doing something. So what? He was doing something briefly.
Yeah, for a second. And then he came back on.
So he thought he was going to pick that and seal the freaking deal, man. My God. That hurts even more.
Yeah, how good does that feel on this show if that's what happens?
Oh, my God. Then we're talking about Caleb. We're talking about a lot of stuff. Talking about $1,500.
The playoffs.
Oh, God.
Because I can tell you this much. My partner has already convinced himself that the Bears can win against the Vikings. Could you imagine how you would feel about this game had the Bears won yesterday?
I don't know if they can beat the Vikings. I don't know if they can beat anybody anymore. I'm broken, Lawrence.
We can't have that. Your whole bit is that you're not broken. So we can't have you be broken.
It's not a bit. It's my life. It's
that's your whole thing that you do. It's the thing. The bit.
It's not a bit.
That bit that
the
you
hell?
Do. Remember when you did the bit?
New partner.
You did the bit
here. When
you were like, yeah, we're going to beat Green Bay twice. Like, that's your whole bit.
I believed it. Then things went south, and I decided to stand by it.
And Jalen tripped.
Jalen freaking tripped.
Man, that sucks. It really sucks. Because now what we need to do is put the video together.
Yeah, now I got to see
him
that.
Of him saying it and it happening. That's bad.
But it didn't happen, Lawrence. I don't know if you watched.
It's bad.
Didn't happen.
Let's hear what Tom Brady, the GOAT, has to say about Caleb, because they talked. It's next on the
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
But I want to play at one place for 20 years and chase one guy, number 12. I want a place that loves ball. You know, that's all I've heard about Chicago so far. They love ball, which is really exciting for me. It's something that I'm looking forward to and embracing. You know, that's a city to light up and bring back and revive and make game days and everything really, really fun and enjoyable.
There he was on the field pregame, Tom Brady.
Spending a lot of time with Caleb.
Yes, he was.
Pregame. Like, honestly, while Caleb was warming up.
Like, get out of here, goat. Like, I'm busy.
No, I'm not saying that. Like, I am not. If I'm Caleb, I'm not. I'm like, hey, how do you feel about how I'm warming up?
See Tyson Bagent hanging around as well.
Get out of here, Bagent.
It's my time.
You don't belong here.
Me and the goat having private time, Tyson.
It's still on the table that I could be the goat. It is not on the table for you, sir.
I heard from a lot of veteran broadcasters that they really want Tyson Bagent to start this week.
A lot of veteran broadcasters?
Yeah, a few of them went to the team and said that.
You can't?
Was one of them Chris Collinsworth? Because he seemed to like to do that last year.
No, he does no work.
No, you can't be trusting those arm wrestling sources of yours, Shane. Can't do it.
Quiet part out loud.
The arm wrestling community is not to be trusted.
It's not my source.
What if we start calling you Goldie?
Please don't.
And Saddle, his partner, Saddle. Saddle and Goldie.
Anyway. So, yeah.
Tom Brady doing the broadcast. Got some Brady stuff that I want to highlight tomorrow, which when we have a little more space. But there was a lot of good Brady yesterday, I thought.
I thought he was terrific yesterday. I really did. And I haven't been a fan of Tom calling the games because it feels very like he's doing a presentation about football. This is a football.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what a football – like. It felt more comfortable. I still would like for him to get more comfortable and just talk to us instead of talking at us. That would be the note that I would pass his way.
I thought he was really comfortable. Like when certain bits of wisdom came up, he was able to just dispense and just give it to us. And I appreciated that. They did go back to Hologram Brady, which is my least.
I don't like that.
I hate Hologram Brady. I like Hologram Eazy-E a lot better. But Hologram Brady in pregame was talking about Caleb Williams and the coaching change that took place this week.
Tom Brady through the magic of television.
Hey.
Look at, there he is.
This technology is incredible. Tyler, I feel like you're here, man. I feel like you're looking good.
Hey, this is insane.
Yeah,
thanks,
it
guys.
Is.
You guys are too. It's nice being in the studio
so
with you
right
guys.
Now.
It's kind of insane what's going on with the Bears. They changed their offense coordinator. They've got a rookie quarterback. Caleb Williams, Tom, has already been struggling. Do you see this move helping him with his development going forward, or does it make his rookie season more challenging?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think at this point in the season, it's not like they're going to make a lot of sweeping changes. I think you're looking for minor improvements at this point. So when you fire the coordinator, he's going to bring in his own style. He's got a few little plays he'll add here and there, a few wrinkles. But I wouldn't say it's a huge positive for this team, although I would love to see Caleb make some minor improvements, get rid of the ball a little quicker. He's doing a good job taking care of the ball, but help that offensive line out a little bit by getting that ball out of your hands.
So what I hate most about Hologram Brady is when he says, yeah, that's a good question. Stuff like that, where they're pretending that it's actually a conversation. You taped this already, you know? Everybody knows it, so you could manipulate it and turn it into a freaking hologram, and then you're pretending to have a conversation like we're a bunch of idiots. I
don't think you need it.
Oh, you don't. It's ridiculous. It's more uncomfortable than anything.
Just do a Zoom.
There was an overnight guy on a different network who I used to listen to as I was driving into Sporting News to do the morning show, and he would always set up his interviews like they were live. Yeah. And it was so obvious. It's like, dude, Adam Schefter did not stay awake to talk to you. Like, I know for a fact he's not awake to talk to you. So stop pretending and playing us for a fool that we're not, you bastard. That's what I feel like Fox is doing.
See, this is you lashing out.
Texter's like, man, Lawrence, you just called Spiegs' entire life a bit. It's like, yeah, it's true. Also, I like this text who said, damn, Spiegs, I was halfway through Murder on the Orient Express.
We feel bad for you in that regard.
It's a 90-year-old novel.
Hey, man, he's working through it.
Agatha Christie wrote it 90 years ago. I thought I was safe.
If okay. You're like, wait, fellas, why am I hearing the clothes music for your show? Well, that's because there is Bulls basketball tonight. And our guy Zach Zateman's going to be on the call.
Good for Zach.
Yeah, I hope Chuck gets better, though.
And it's me too. And it's the Detroit Pistons. Kate Cunningham is a beast. So, good luck, Bulls. Try not to give up 140 tonight.
Alyssa Bergamini's here already. She's got you taken care of on pre and post and got all your betting stuff that you need. I hear her when I'm, like, driving out, and I'm like, I should bet that. And then I'm like, I should definitely bet overs for the other team because they don't be defending people. And tonight might be one of those nights.
So, there you go.
For Shane and Tanny. And my partner, Matt Spiegel. His life is not a bit.
Thank you, buddy.
I am Lawrence Holmes saying that we appreciate the love and support that you show this show. We will try to repay it in kind tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Spiegel and Holmes, forever, bitches. See you then.
All right, I got to go here, guys. I got something.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.